We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Last time we ever come to Chicago, dude.
Why?
Called the Bulls stink.
Middays on the Score.
Well, you can't disagree with him. Let's talk some Bulls, some NBA before we get started with the second half of the season. That's really far less than that. Mark Schanowski knows more about the Bulls and the NBA than we do. And that's why we have him on. He is on Twitter at Mark Schanowski, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Mark, how you been, man?
Good, Dan and Connor, doing well.
What sticks with you most from All-Star Weekend, whether it be a Bulls headline or an NBA headline? I'm wondering what sticks with you, Mark, most from the last weekend.
Well, the fourth quarter was fun to watch in the All-Star game Sunday night. These guys played all out. Obviously, they were trying to honor the memory of Kobe Bryant, and I don't think that they can necessarily count on that happening in future years. If you go with the Elam ending, you'll get the same kind of passion and intensity. I'll tell you, watching the finish, guys were setting bone-jarring screens, and Giannis had the chase down block on LeBron. I'm thinking, boy, I hope nobody gets hurt, because all of a sudden all these great feelings will go out the window in a hurry. But I thought the city of Chicago did a great job with the presentation of All-Star Weekend. I thought Common was excellent with his if the city could talk presentation. It was just wonderful. And all in all, I think the city gets high marks. And then, of course, Sunday we got the news that Michael Reinsdorf was looking around for some executive help, and that kind of became the big story of the weekend locally.
But executive help, if they bring right. in just a guy from the outside who maybe replaces Gar Forman or supplants somebody in the power structure here, if John Paxson is involved in the hiring of this and Doug Collins is advising in the hiring of this, isn't it missing the point? I mean, isn't the whole idea of a new set of eyes to be that person who is in charge of all of it?
Well, as you know, change comes very slowly with Reinsdorf's in charge, and they're obviously looking at their White Sox model where they kicked Kenny Williams upstairs to be an advisor to ownership and be the president of baseball operations, but not really meet the media very often, but you know that Kenny's involved in everything that's going on baseball-wise. Rick Hahn has been given some autonomy in trying to put that together, and he's done a fantastic job. I know everyone's so excited about the White Sox season coming up. They're obviously trying to use the same model with the Bulls, but if this new executive has to report to Pax and Pax has final say on basketball personnel matters, then you're right. Nothing's really going to change other than you're going to have a new front man who's going to have to face the media.
A front man who I would presume after that move has Jim Boylan moving out and a new coach moving in.
Well, you would think that would have to be at least, they have to give him at least that much autonomy to name his own coach, because you cannot possibly attract a top executive and say, listen, you're going to have to keep Jim Boylan as coach next year. I mean, that would reduce the field of people that might be interested in the job to next to none. So, you have to give that person the right to name his own head coach. And I think that would something they understand going in, that if you're going to attract a top executive from one of the better teams in the NBA, he's going to have some decision-making power, and that starts with hiring his own coach.
So what's the purpose of the remainder of this season? Wendell Carter Jr. might be coming back. There's talk now that Chris Dunn, that his injury, they said it was going to be 2 weeks of reevaluation after immobilization. And that may be the rest of the year. Now they're saying that, as was discussed yesterday, Casey Johnson says that he just might be done. What are you trying to do? How are you getting closer to winning a championship with the remainder of this season?
Well, what you have to do is develop the guys that are going to be part of your core going forward. And I think one of the key players is the guy you just mentioned, Wendell Carter Jr. He's been kind of a lost soul in the offense. We saw him play at Duke. He showed a really nice touch from the baseline, going out to 18 feet. He could hit the elbow jumper. He had nice, soft lefty hook, righty hook. You know, he had an array of post moves that we haven't even seen as a pro, because he's been asked really to be a screener and a rim runner and a defender. And when he catches the ball at the elbow, he doesn't even look at the basket. He just looks to where he should pass the ball next. And they need to get him to stop feeling so robotic in this offensive system. Let him have some freedom and see if there's more there than just a guy who can be a solid rim runner and can maybe contribute on the offensive end. I think his development is key. I think we need to see Kobe White playing point guard a lot over the final 27 games. And I think they need to find out, try to hopefully get Lauri Markkanen back, run more actions with Lowry and Zach LaVine. Put your two best players in two-man game and see if you can't get something, some chemistry developing there. You have to figure out who's going to matter going forward, and those are the guys that matter the most.
I know you mentioned Larry Markkanen just a bit there, Mark, but with the final 27 games that remain, what exactly has to be measured from Larry Markkanen?
Well, you know, it was interesting. Zach LaVine did a ton of interviews over All-Star Weekend, and he was on the set with the TNT guys, I believe it was Saturday night or Sunday, and he was asked about Larry Markkanen, and Charles Barkley really went to great lengths to try to grill him on what's wrong with Larry Markkanen. And he kind of let it slip that he's been hurt all year long, that he's been playing through injuries the whole season, and he hasn't been himself. And that would explain a lot about some of the lack of aggression, some of the lack of development that we've seen. That, you know, Lowry told the beat guys back on media day that he wanted to play all 82 games, and that seemed to be a goal for a couple of guys on this team. And he played through some minor injuries that maybe in retrospect weren't quite as minor. It's possible the Bulls will just who are released in 2 weeks saying that they're still a little bit concerned about this pelvic stress area and they're going to shut it down for the season. I mean, I wouldn't count that out. But I would think from a Bulls perspective, they also want to see him get back on the court because he's eligible for rookie contract extension talks this summer. And that could get very difficult because obviously his camp is going to ask for the moon. They'll probably ask for a max extension. The Bulls won't want to give it. And then you've got your second best player that you're may be at odds with in terms of his future with the organization.
The last time we heard from Jim Boylan, he was doing a terrible job trying to explain why Daniel Gafford didn't play despite being up rather than down. He was available to play. It was a coach's decision, and he didn't play, and he was getting asked multiple questions about was it because of health, and he stammered his way through a completely unsatisfactory and unsatisfying answer. Do you know what's going on there?
Well, his ankle is still sore. There's still some swelling there, and I think what he should have said, of course, is that he's still not 100%, but we're shorthanded, so he's going to suit up. He's available in case of emergency. They had two healthy centers that they could use, and obviously there was no need to put him out there if he was less than 100%. About a month or so ago, the Bulls announced that Jim Boylan would no longer be speaking about injuries, and then that went away almost immediately, and he's still answering questions about injuries, and he's obviously not well suited to do that. He could have easily cut off the questions by saying exactly that he's not 100% healthy yet, and you know we're not going to put him out there until we feel like he can show us exactly what he's all about. But you know, Casey Johnson was involved in the direct questioning of that, and he kept following up, and with each follow-up it became more muddied, and that's become an issue over the year plus that Jim's been the coach, that he just is his own worst enemy in terms of trying to be elusive, when if he could just give a simple statement, people would just move on.
Oh, I think that's kind. I think it's a kind way of addressing the issues that are afflicting Jim Boylan in the postgame. What coach gets restricted from talking about injuries? I know you don't have an answer for it, Mark, but God, man, we just kind of accept that at this point.
Well, I can tell you on many occasions where we tried to set up one-on-one interviews with Jim, you know, he's surrounded by media relations people, and, you know, they want to outline what you're going to ask him ahead of time so that he can prepare, and they stand over his shoulder during the interview to make sure there's nothing that's going to throw him. But, you know, once the interview starts on television, no one's going to be able to walk in and stop it. They're trying to be as protective as they can to avoid him making any statements that are going to embarrass either him or the organization, but that ship has sailed, you know. So, you know, right?
That ship's around the world,
that
man.
Is so comical. I mean, the amount of organizational heat loss with that level, you have to mobilize an army to make sure every time he opens his mouth that you're not dealing with a crisis. I mean, that's why do they want to keep having to do that?
You know, it's I'm totally lost on this one. It's been a very strange chapter in the Bulls' history, and you know, this man is so beloved by the front office and ownership. It's I've never seen anything quite like it, to put it that way.
All right, simple question on another subject: is Coby White an NBA point guard?
To this point, no. But he's 19 years old, and he has the physical traits that he can become one. I'm not of the mind that a player coming out of college, especially one who only played 1 year at North Carolina, is a finished product. Obviously, if you get a good coaching staff in place and work with him on the things that he needs to work on as a point guard, mainly the mindset that you don't have to shoot the ball every time. They've gone out to great lengths to not even discuss the term point guard in relation to Coby White. They want him to just play basketball, what comes naturally to him and not worry about having to run an NBA offense or do the things that an NBA point guard needs to do. They've taken that to great lengths, and that's another example of the current coaching structure, that they're trying to take all the pressure off this kid. But he's got to learn what's most important in terms of getting the ball to your best players on the floor, not always feeling like a contested 30-footer is a good shot. So I think that the kid has a lot of potential. I think his speed can change games. He's shown that at times coming off the bench as a shooting guard. But he's going to need a crash course on becoming an NBA point guard, and I think that there's certainly enough time that he can develop. I like the fact that he has that speed, that extra gear that you see in players like De'Aaron Fox and Russell Westbrook, where he can just blow by defenders, and then that forces the defense to adjust. So I think he can be a real weapon, but he needs a lot of work in terms of what's most important for a point guard.
So would you essentially throw him to the Wolves over the last 27 games?
Absolutely. What else do you need to see?
Well, I guess the only thing I was worried about is the guys he's going to play with. You know, with as many injuries as the Bulls are dealing with, whether that's the smartest thing to do for Kobe, I think is somewhat of a discussion, right?
Well, I think the larger concern is are you going to alienate other players by his mistakes? But you look at the record right now, and there's really nothing to play for. So you actually, losses don't hurt you at this point. It's not a great draft, but still you want to have as many lottery chances as you can. So why not put him out there, let him play more with Zach and Markkanen when he comes back, and see if you can't get something going that way. He's going to need repetitions in order to become a starting caliber NBA point guard. So I would think over the last 27 games, I mean, you know who Thomas Satoransky is. Nothing's going to change there. You brought him in at an affordable NBA contract to kind of hold the shop until Kobe's ready. You might as well let Kobe get a crash course now, continue working on it through the summer, and maybe by next year you feel comfortable that he could be your starter.
Yep, I'm convinced.
To what extent do you think that the attendance decline has mattered to Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf and to the team? Is that there really has been something that they haven't seen in the past when the team has been bad? That this is the first real downturn. Forget the paid numbers that they're showing. The actual butts in the seats. Is this starting to matter to them? And is it a little? Do they miss out on something? Do they mistime something? Are they too late to something?
Well, I know even when they were leading the league in attendance and announcing sellouts every night, they were always concerned about those empty seats for season ticket holders who decided not to show up on a given night. So now that you're seeing, you know, huge areas of the Arena Bowl being empty, yeah, it's going to be a concern. They took great pride in leading the league in attendance for as many years as they did, and it's been a source of concern for the organization that people aren't showing up as much. I mean, they're announcing ticket promotions regularly, which we never used to see with Bulls basketball in terms of reduced tickets and special promotions, and they've become like any other NBA team in terms of trying to find a way to consistently fill their arena. So it's a source of concern. I'm sure they had to be mortified during that national TV show on Friday when the fans started breaking out the FireGuard PAX chant. I mean, that had to resonate through every level of the organization. And, you know, they may want to say it's a small group of people and it doesn't matter, but that was quite an embarrassment on a national platform.
They can't do that anymore. I know that has been in the past, the idea, the other stuff behind the billboard and all that. They say it's a vocal minority that they look at as kind of a nuisance. But the more that I understand it and the more contact that we have, the more exposure that we have with the rank-and-file Bulls fan, that's real. That isn't just a fringe group anymore. Those feelings have suffused their fandom in a way that they better appreciate.
Yeah, you can't ignore that large of a segment. It's been a growing movement over the last couple of years, and I think obviously Michael Reinsdorf has seen that he's got to do something to try to offer some change to the fan base. You know, I don't know if this whatever move they make in the offseason is going to be enough. Let's hope that they bring in somebody from a winning organization who has real experience in trying to put together a product from really square one and has the autonomy to carry out the decisions that he sees fit. Because, you know, if they see that it looks like just rubber stamping what has always happened with the organization, I think the fans will see that through that very quickly. And it's going to be a lot of pressure on whoever this person is in order to be able to say that, you know, I've been given a platform from ownership that I can make whatever changes I see fit, because the fan base is going to be dubious no matter who is announced. So I you know, that person better have a very strong stomach, because he's going to have to deal with a lot of skepticism early on.
Mark, help inform a conversation that the four of us have been having for a couple of weeks. How many teams can actually win the NBA Finals this year? We've been going back and forth and have similar numbers. Jay thinks that the Tampa Bay Lightning actually have a pretty good chance this year as well. Mm-hmm. Wonder what you think about the number.
I would say there's probably three in the NBA, the two LA teams and the Bucks. I don't really feel like anybody else is that equipped to win it. You know, the East will be interesting this year because I think Milwaukee is a really well put together team for the regular season. But you know, Giannis can't make free throws. Eric Bledsoe's a little bit shaky at a point guard, and we saw that in the Toronto series that you've got a full 7 games to prepare for Giannis and kind of build that wall at the rim, he's still going to struggle. So, you know, I really think that it's going to be one of the two LA teams this year. The issue with the Clippers right now is Paul George has been in and out of the lineup all season long, so they've had no chance to build any kind of on-court chemistry. And, you know, people always want to doubt the Lakers and what they put together, but anytime you line up LeBron James and Anthony Davis, you got a pretty damn good chance to win a series.
So, Mark, back to Giannis. Is it a tweak to his game that's got to come around to fight that wall that gets built, like in a playoff series you mentioned, or do they just have to supplement the roster? Is there just not enough tweaking to be done, even if he is the NBA's best player?
Giannis is an amazing force of nature to watch. You know, a guy that really transformed himself from a skinny kid who came over from Greece, and now he's just the ultimate power player. I mean, he tries to get to the rim on every possession, driving through 1, 2, and 3 players and trying to dunk on everybody. And that takes a physical toll. I mean, I was watching him in the All-Star game. He was playing hard in the second quarter. I mean, he didn't wait till the fourth quarter. This is a guy who's really driven to compete against the best and prove that he's the best player in the league. But the problem is, if you look at that supporting cast, it's really not that good. And it seems like when the game is at its most important stages, Giannis reverts to his worst habits in terms of trying to force a drive on every possession, and he seems to really tighten up at the free throw line in close games. And I think that could hurt Milwaukee. And, you know, we've seen teams go to the hacky Giannis strategy, and it'd be awful if your league MVP winds up losing a playoff series because he can't make free throws late. Mike Budenholzer and that front office has done a great job of bringing different people in, trying to supplant, reinforce the roster. They even brought in Marvin Williams, who, you know, is at the later stages of his career, but he can knock down a 3-pointer at times. They're deep, but you wonder, aside from Giannis, who's going to create a shot? I don't think they have anybody like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if either Toronto or somehow Philly can get it together, because they have that tall front line with Joel Embiid and Al Horford and Tobias Harris. They could cause him some problems. It'll be interesting to see if he can get through to the finals. And if he doesn't, you're going to hear nothing but Giannis leaving Milwaukee talk all summer long.
Why did he take a step back with his free throw shooting when it appeared, I don't have the percentages in front of me, but he repaired his free throw shooting and he was up to like 70-something percent. Why did he backslide?
You know, when you watch him shoot free throws, you can almost see him fighting himself mentally. Remember Karl Malone used to talk to himself at the free throw line, and you knew that he was struggling. He didn't want to be there. Giannis, to his credit, doesn't mind getting fouled, and he'll take his free throw attempts, but he almost locks up mentally. You can see him, he kind of extends his arms forward, really doesn't use his legs, and you can see him trying to figure out exactly what he wants to do at the free throw line. I've never seen a player of his caliber shoot as many air balls as he does from the free throw line, where he just blanks out mentally, and you can see that he just doesn't feel comfortable there. There are times where he'll make a couple of 3-pointers, and you're thinking, well, the guy's figured out the shot, and then he'll get fouled and go to the free throw line and shoot an air ball. So it's definitely a mental struggle for him, and when you're trying to win a championship, every point is precious, and you hate to give those away at the line. I'm a Milwaukee native, so I'm rooting for him. I think it'd be a great story. Obviously, they haven't won a title since I was a little kid, so that'd be fantastic. But you know, I don't know if they can get there because they don't have another shot creator. Just about every top contending team has two superstars. Chris Middleton is a nice player, but he's not a superstar.
Mark, great stuff, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
That is Mark Schanowski, one of our favorite basketball guests.
I love talking hoops with Mark. You're right about Giannis in the free throw line, by the way. In 16-17, 77%.
Right.
In 17-18, 76%. Last year, 70, rounded up, I guess, 73% on 9.5 trips to the line a night. And now it's down to 61%. And he's going to the line 10 and a half times a night.
Yeah, this is a sports psychology issue now. right? That you don't see that. Usually once somebody fixes the free throw shooting, they're good.
Usually,
or they never do.
Yeah, or they never do. That's more likely. You just never do.
You drop 16%.
That's massive.
Think of the number of points that is.
Especially if you're on Mark's side of the argument, thinking that Chris Middleton is a nice player, but that's about it. You got to have somebody else to support that kind of drop in just pure points. I was a little higher on Middleton than I guess Mark is, but Mark's a lot smarter than I am, too.
We're going to do two giveaways in the next segment. We are going to give away a pair of sweet tickets to see the Monster Jam Triple Threat 3 at Allstate Arena that includes food and beverage and a coveted $275 value, an entry into the 2020 Charity Poker Championship that is coming up on February 27th. I urge you to get registered for this because your chances of winning one of these are not likely. But we have plenty of seats for you and plenty of ways for you to help kids with cancer and leukemia for a great night for a great cause by visiting camponestep.org. So those are going to be given away.
We got a lot of baseball to get into later on in the show. I would imagine that in the 11 o'clock hour, in fact, I know you're going to hear another piece of audio from another baseball player.
Yes, you are.
Who's asking for the Astros to just have it handed to them. But there were a couple of football notes, some that concerned the Bears that crossed the desk yesterday. Can I bring a couple of those up? Because we're talking quarterbacks and it's kind of fun. We'll do that next. Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Want to sign a one-day contract with the Chicago Wolves and earn a $5,000 signing bonus?
Yes.
Visit the Sprint store on Lamont Road in Darien between 1 and 3 p.m. this Saturday. Give me a number.
4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Caller 4 to the contest line, 312-591-6700, wins a pair of sweet tickets to see Monster Jam Triple Threat 3 at Allstate Arena, February 29th at 7 p.m. Food and beverages are included. Just a little bit, we're going to give away a poker entry.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so a couple of things football-wise crossed the desk over the weekend, and you know, we had the All-Star game. We had everything Chris Bryant said over the weekend and stuff that Javi Baez said about not being ready until the fourth inning. We had a lot to do yesterday despite having a five-hour show and filling in for Lawrence, which was a ton of fun to do. This was from Peter King's Football Morning in America column. You know, this is the one that runs 90,000 words a week, and you have to scroll through the whole thing while you're going to the bathroom 3 times. You know, this is the thing you've got on your phone while you're at the work bathroom trying to avoid your boss. This is what you read.
And it ends up with him talking about airline travel and coffee.
Exactly. It ends with a haiku. I'm not kidding you. Every week, it ends with a haiku, 575. But he goes through the quarterback carousel and the predictions attached to it. I'll just give you a couple. If you got quarterbacks you want to know about, you know, via Peter King, then bring up some names. But I will take you through the Saints, which will end us at the Bears one way or another. Drew Brees, Taysom Hill, Teddy Bridgewater. He writes, it's not that complicated. More likely than not that Brees returns and doesn't go to TV for another season. That means Taysom Hill, barring somebody getting crazy, he writes, remains a Saint in 2020, that's going to happen. Nobody's taking a spin on a 30-year-old Taysom Hill.
He insists he's a franchise quarterback.
I'm sure he thinks he is.
And that's, an end table.
And that's great. And you can XFL both think
franchise.
That. Mm-hmm. I hope that happens for Taysom Hill. It's not going to. Nope. The guy had five career-ending, season-ending injuries while in college over 6 years. He's got an injury history that matters. Bridgewater, speaking of injury history, most likely but not certainly gone because he knows the Saints want to give Hill the chance to be Brees' heir. Okay, so we work through that and we find our way all the way down to his estimation of where the carousel might stop for the Bears. The rest. That's where we begin, which isn't a good place to start. The rest. It could be that Jameis Winston will have to move and fight for a starting job somewhere. I have to think Chicago could be in the market for a better backup than Chase Daniel.
Yep, I'm there.
Knowing he may have to play half the season or more if Mitchell Trubisky has a bad September.
Yep.
That places Jameis Winston, 30-30 guy, really close in proximity to the Bears.
But recently having
this guy's column.
His eyes repaired.
Yeah, he had LASIK.
Yes, he did.
Which is a beautiful thing.
As we know, as you.
I love the fine team over at Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. The team, the facilities, they're the best in Chicago. I don't know if Jameis traveled all the way up here to get it done. He probably should have. But LASIK's a life changer, man. I'm probably going to hit 750 in softball this year just because I can see the thing.
Under.
Oh, it might be 820. Definitely going to slug 1,100. This is going
to
be...
I'm taking the under on everything. It's not like it's hard to see a softball.
No, it's not. It's hard to have a swing like Hunter Pence, though.
Yeah, as long as you're not as twitchy. But Jameis Winston is a Bears backup for our purposes. Outstanding.
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? Interceptions left and right, touchdowns up and down. Can he... I mean, isn't the question... Whether Jameis Winston makes bad reads or not, does he read the defense pre-snap? Because that's the thing that Matt Nagy has been screaming about to anybody who will listen.
What front? What coverage? Tell me what front? Is it over? Is it under? Is it a bare front?
Is Jameis Winston...
Is it a single high safety? Is it a three deep? Is it
reading defenses before the snap than Mitch Trubisky?
Probably.
Probably.
Right? Isn't the answer from what we know probably?
I think it's probably.
Yep.
Alex Smith, if healthy, could provide a significant competition for Dwayne Haskins in Washington. Case Keenum could be an attractive insurance policy in Cleveland. Those are the rest of the rest quarterbacks that feature in the Chicago part of the discussion in Peter King's column, Football Morning in America. I thought that was interesting.
And that doesn't involve Tom Brady in any way.
No, Tom Brady, it sounds like, is going to do the big move, right? He's putting it out on the table, letting them know. Letting everybody know that he's the GOAT. Apparently, he's going to have teams come to the house to pitch him in free agency, which I kind of think that makes sense, doesn't it? If you're Tom Brady, the hell are you going to anywhere for? You're Tom Brady.
You're not making a tour.
If Lovie Smith is going to head to Julius Peppers' house and show up on the front door ready to roll for the first day of free agency, like as soon as the clock hits 12:01 or whatever it was, then yes. People should go to Tom Brady's house, sit down, have a chat, do a recruiting visit, the whole thing. I have no problem with Tom Brady being the GOAT and doing it in free agency too.
Yeah, come to the house, you set up your projector, whatever you got to do, and show me what you got.
Does Ryan Pace go to the house?
I don't think so.
How serious do you have to be? Like if you're
we're so excited.
Of course you are.
Tom, you're
super pumped. If you're Tom Brady's, if you're the gatekeeper for the Tom Brady conversation, you know, if you're standing outside the house and you're Jarvis, right, standing outside Iron Man's place and you got to set up everybody coming through the door, you've got a certain level of seriousness that a team has to pass in order to get in and actually talk with Tom, right? You've got to...
None shall pass.
Right? I mean, you've got to be the Black Knight a little bit here. Yep. You've got to look around and say, hey, you know, this situation... Sure. L.A., the Chargers, that's interesting. Tom loves warm weather. It's going to be a lot of money there, hopefully, for Tom. It's an okay team, certainly not as bad as the record was last year. And if you're looking at opportunities, if you're Tom Brady being guided by one fact and one fact alone, is that I've got to go, and I don't think he is guided by this, but if he is guided by the fact that I've got to go win a ring without Bill Belichick just to prove to everybody that I can.
Why?
I don't know.
Why would you feel compelled to do that?
I wouldn't.
Why wouldn't you just stop playing football and get on with the rest of your life?
I would play one more year with the Patriots. That's what I would do if I were Tom Brady.
$30 million or something ridiculous like that?
I'd take whatever, you know, do whatever. Make it it doesn't matter. Defer a whole bunch of money. Give me stake in ownership or what have you.
I'll just fine. Steak.
Just a steak.
I'll take the steak.
That I can eat after my playing career is done because I eat wheatgrass every day. I'm Tom Brady. You know
He's
what I mean?
He's got to be lying about all of that. I'm sorry.
There's no avocado ice cream. It doesn't exist. Not a thing.
I don't believe
nonsense.
Any famous person that says that I'm eating this and I only eat this. And they're all lying. Famous people and rich people all eat steak all the time.
Isn't he an I don't drink coffee guy too?
I don't know.
Doesn't he uses his natural endorphins to get up out of bed in the morning and go get hit by grown men?
That is the one healthy thing that I do.
What?
I don't drink coffee.
But coffee's good for you.
Coffee's good for you.
Oh, I think it tastes gross.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's
great.
It's so
it smells
beer,
great,
but
tastes gross.
You learn.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste. I think coffee we now know is good for you. It's protective of the liver. There's all kinds of compounds in it that are beneficial. Caffeine is good.
It's the cup and a half of cream that you're putting
less
in.
Bad.
With the sugar. That's the stuff that tastes good is bad for you.
But they're all lying. Rich people eat whatever they want. And then
they just pay to have it taken out of them.
Well, their trainers come over and they do their things with their pliability spheres and all
the
that.
The vibrating ball.
But come on.
That's right. Or the jade egg.
Yeah,
just put that right up there.
Whoop, up and go.
Ew.
But they just, it's such a lie. Because they're always at the steakhouses. They're always eating béarnaise sauce. They're eating tons of butter. They're eating great food. And great food is rich and filled with fat and salt.
Well, now I'm hungry. That's it. We're getting béarnaise sauce.
I mean, they could be going there and just like getting the lettuce like Ray.
No, but Ray's not rich and famous. And
well,
if Ray were rich and famous.
You don't have to be rich to get just the lettuce at a place like that.
I guess,
you just ask for a head of lettuce.
And I guarantee you, the moment Ray blows up, he's eating, you know, rare duck breast. Like the rest of the people who blow.
You know, the pate.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Because it's just, they're all lying. My diet doesn't allow for that. Do you remember like back in the day, and I'm probably talking out of school here, when on the air during the old Jiggets and North show, remember when on the air, like Jesse would say something like, hey, I'm going over to Sammy's to get lunch. What do you want?
Yeah, of course.
And then Jiggs would be like, yeah, Jesse, give me a Greek salad. And then he'd hit the talk back and go, 3 Polish sausage and cheese fries. I was in the producer's studio one day. This is the God's honest truth. On the air, it's like, yeah, I have a Greek salad, oil and vinegar, 3 Polish sausage and a cheese fries. And
Sammy's the one on right on Cicero?
No,
in Belmont.
Sammy's on Belmont.
Okay, so as an intern and a young producer,
they had a great Italian beef there.
I would get sent there, and it was sort of with the understanding that because we were from the score, it was free, but
what?
Not always.
What? Like sometimes I never got anything free.
Seriously?
Yeah, there was maybe it wasn't Sammy's. There was another place though where we would go, and there was a sort of an understanding. Score guys get it for free, so they would send me with no money. And if the wrong person was working, they'd be like, okay, that's $36.50. And I'd be like, I have $3 in my checking account.
Now, Sammy's, there was that one, there's one woman, there were like two.
Is it still there?
I don't know if it is, but there was one woman who I thought was going to shoot me in the face every time because she had like, she
a
like,
gun?
No, she was dangerous. Like her face was covered with tats and like the teardrop tats and everything. And she was,
that's the one you look out for.
Yeah. She was dangerous and always had an edge to her and never was really happy to see anybody there. I guarantee you she was selling drugs out of there. There's not a doubt
in
my
mind. That
doesn't
necessarily make it dangerous.
No. There was that place and the fantastic, fantastic Chinese place that was literally like a pass-through in the wall, and you didn't know what was behind the drywall there, and there was an old woman that would yell at you, and you'd give the order, and she would hand your order out through this little pass-through.
That's how I want to be yelled at, by the way. Like, every time someone yells at me, I just imagine them as an old woman, because it's more...
An old Chinese woman screaming at you? Well, oh, my God.
What
happened in Cleveland? And in the big mall in Cleveland, well, big Cleveland-wise, but, you know, the mall in Cleveland, towards the end of the night when they're running out of stuff, and they just would make up meals, put them in the styrofoam containers,
ooh,
put them on top of the buffet, and she'd just start yelling, $3 one box.
Really?
Yeah.
And just you go grab?
Yeah, you just go grab it, you give them $3, and you get a big meal.
Another tab I like.
Mystery box. I was gonna say that's a Ranji roommate, I think. Mystery box.
Yeah, when that Chinese, you know, I was in one of the rooms. So dubious of that Chinese place, and Terry's like, no, it's good, and I said, look, I'm gonna give it the hot and sour soup test.
Terry had probably made friends with everybody there, course, before you'd even walked in.
Of course, he'd do the Dave Feldman like speaking like Sid Caesar, yes, pigeon fake Chinese to them.
Oh God,
and, right?
That's not good.
Well, that's what Dave Feldman used to do.
Well,
and all those old Sun Times guys knew about that. But like, I'm like, all right, fine, I'll give him the hot and sour soup test. And I get it, and I bring it back, and I took one sip, and I said, holy crap, this place is legit.
You go right back.
Immediately. You're like, okay. Like, you have passed the hot and sour. If you can get that right, I trust you.
Where were the studios? Belmont and what?
Belmont and Laverne.
Because I want to try and find whether that Sammy's is still there, and I want to know. All right, well, we'll look it up.
Belmont and Laverne, I think, was the actual cross street there. All right, now I need another number from you.
7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Caller 7 of the contest line, 312-591-6700. And if you can play, if you can attend on February 27th, you will be entered into the 2020 Charity Poker Championship. We're at Galleria Marchetti with the proceeds benefiting Camp One Step by Children's Oncology Services. You can compete for nearly $15,000 in prizes, including the grand prize of a seat at the 2020 World Series of Poker main event in Las Vegas. If you plan to register, don't wait. Get in on this. Get registered. Every year, like 50 of you, the day of, I forgot. And all of a sudden, like, holy crap. And then we got to add extra tables and all this. If you're going to do this, do this. Do it now. Do it ahead of time. It's easier on everybody. So if you're planning to play, please play. We want you there. It's going to be a great night. OneStepCamp.org. Camp OneStep. CampOneStep.org. CampOneStep.org.
The Midday Midway is on the way. I've got a replacement for butter that you're not going to like. Well,
nope.
You'll like,
nope,
but nobody else is going to like it.
Do you remember the problem that we had in that one suburb in Minnesota where the wild turkeys were going crazy?
Oh, yeah.
And they needed to shoot them with net guns to try to get them and capture them and send them to South Dakota.
McNeil and I want to invest in a net gun.
Well,
together.
I've got the Florida version of that.
Perfect. Perfect. The Midday Midway is on the way. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
1, 2.
Midway, the most important of the year.
3, 4.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
Midday Midway brought to you by Illini Care Health. You deserve quality health. Healthcare, choose Illini Care Health for healthcare coverage that includes free gym memberships, after school care, and school uniforms that either you or your family can take advantage of. Visit IlliniCare.com today. Illini Care Health is a Health Choice Illinois plan. We started out talking about the David Ross meeting yesterday that apparently had drew rave reviews. Mm-hmm. Whatever he showed Theo Epstein at his interview, he was able to recreate in a way that had Chris Bryant wanting to run through a wall. I just wonder what you say with this amount of uncertainty, especially regarding what remains to be a potential trade of that guy, Chris Bryant. We then discussed the issues that are ongoing with the Cubs television broadcast and Marquee Network and how they're really underestimating what the response is going to be from a very old fan base trying to figure out how to find them on television.
Feels that way, man.
And they're going to play the brinksmanship of, hey, you know, talk, you call them. Well, I think people don't want to call them. They want the Cubs to kind of get it figured out how they're going to handle all of this. We also discussed basketball with Mark Schanowski. Some really good stuff from him.
Oh, yeah. That was a fantastic conversation. Yeah. That's when you use the radio.com app and go back and listen to over again in case you missed a piece.
Painting a picture of what they're dealing with Jim Boylan is really kind of amazing to me. And then you looked at Peter King's assessment of the quarterback landscape that could lead to Jameis Winston joining the Bears.
All right, so you and your daughter were very close to Ghent University, correct? Ghent University Ghent? In Belgium, wasn't that part
we
of
did
your...
not. That was not on our list.
No?
We did not consider Ghent University in Belgium.
Well, this may make you reconsider. A study out from Ghent University in Belgium tested some alternatives to animal butter. Here's how it worked. They found that an alternative to butter that is healthier and more sustainable than dairy... It tastes just as good, and it is insect butter.
Ooh.
Insect butter.
I'm listening.
Apparently, it's a little better for you. It's sustainable, like I mentioned, and it tastes good. Researchers assembled a team of blind taste testers. She eats several different waffles. You know, Ghent University, Belgium. It's got to be a waffle. There were three categories of waffle. Those cooked with 100% butter, 0% bug. 75% butter, 25% bug.
Do they call it bug tur?
And bug fat is what they're calling it. Bug fat, which is not going to sell. they're going to need something. They need a better term for that. And then 50-50. Tasters could not tell the difference. It's possible, then, that our alternative to butter is insect butter.
I'm there.
I'm not...
I'm just saying I'm definitely willing to try it because I love eating insects.
If I don't have to look at them, I'm kind of okay with the idea. If it just looks like butter, if it comes in the rectangular thing that I just slice up and throw on a waffle.
I don't think they'd have like legs sticking out and stuff like that.
Antenna and stuff all over the place. Sorry, we missed a piece.
I wonder what their baseline level butter, like their control group butter is. Because
that's the chunky bug tur.
If you're talking about that bug tur against just like regular.
It's got the crunch you crave.
It's different than if you use like Normandy butter or Kerrygold butter, the kind of that you... When you want to spend a little extra for the good stuff, for the Amish churned high fat butters.
Is it really that much better? I just grab the butter off the, you know, I like the brick.
Yeah.
I mean, the brick of butter.
It's fine. Or you get Land O'Lakes or you can get Lucerne or whatever it is, which is absolutely fine. But when you go to Paris, where everything tastes different, where everything, take everything, every taste you've ever had in your life and double it. I can't explain what or why. Just like pizza's better in New York and the bagels are better in New York and coffee's better in New York. Once you go to Paris and you just stop and you have a crepe or you stop and you go in and you get freshly baked bread or a croissant and you put butter on it and it's just so indescribably transcendent. I don't know if the butter can do that justice.
Well, the next time I'm in Paris, I will get a croissant.
Well, take
hey,
a trip.
Hey, Jay, when is the next time you're going to Paris?
Next week.
Here comes populism
hour. You got that day off coming up. Travel.
Me and Jeeves are going.
Do you know where Manawa, Wisconsin is?
I guarantee you're pronouncing it wrong. How do you spell it?
Manawa? Manawa?
Oh, yeah, Manawa.
Manawa?
I don't know where it is.
Okay, it's not that far from Appleton, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it's just northwest
Manawa.
Of
is
Appleton.
Oh, is it up by Friendship, maybe?
I don't know. But in Manawa,
is the manometer there?
Yes, Terry's manometer could be there.
It's left.
Now, we know that there was a horrific crash at Daytona yesterday, and I don't know how fast the cars are going at that point down the straightaway near the end. Maybe 180, a couple hundred miles an hour, restrictor plate racing, I think.
Oh, it's by Wapaka.
Okay, well, Kurt Anderson has been trying to drive the fastest rocket engine ice drag racer in the world. Okay?
There are pre-existing records for this?
Apparently so. So,
man's building a death trap and trying to set a speed record.
It's called the Arctic Arrow. It sped hundreds of miles per hour on ice in seconds. It reached a top speed of 241 miles per hour.
Wow.
And he wiped out, and he found himself upside down. His crew chief, Kai Michelson, is 81 years old. And he says this thing will burn about 18 gallons of fuel in 4 seconds.
Holy God!
Same.
At about $150 a gallon.
Oh my God!
He says burning fuel that fast is part of the rocket being able to climb to speeds faster than a plane leaving a runway. And things went badly, and it went upside down.
And pictures.
And he wiped out completely, and he's fine! He's fine! He got up and walked away.
He looks a little bit like, from this angle, looks a little bit like Don Nelson.
He does.
Right? Doesn't he look a little bit like Don Nelson?
And if he's wearing the fish tie and it's flapping in the breeze behind him. The last world record was 247.93 miles an hour, set February 1981 at Lake George, New York, by the late Sammy Miller. I don't know how he became the late Sammy Miller.
Probably trying for 248.
That would be my guess. But good luck. He's not going to stop Kurt Anderson. They're going to rebuild the sled. They're going to keep going at it up there in Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
So I love goofy stuff like this. We're just talking about the quarterback carousel that's potentially going to stop with, I don't know, Jameis Winston or something like that with the Bears. The guys over at the Pick 6 podcast decided that they would use Madden NFL 20, the video game Madden, to simulate the seasons with Tom Brady on each and every NFL team. Right?
Bears win the Super Bowl, my friend.
You take Brady and you move him over to a whole bunch of different squads. Brady ends up winning the Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. But based on these Madden simulations, done unscientifically, Brady's best regular season came with a 13-3 Chicago Bears.
Oh, yes.
Where he threw for 4,800 yards and 47 touchdowns. The Bears lost in the NFC title game.
Damn it.
Yep. So, you know, if you're going to sim this thing, that's how it's going to go. If you want Brady on your team next year, don't bother. Because the guys over at the Pick 6 have already checked out how it's going to end.
A pack of peacocks that has wreaked havoc on a Miami neighborhood will be relocated after city commissioners voted to side with residents and agreed to have the birds taken away. It was a big win for many residents who complained the birds have taken control of Coconut Grove, mating into the night, pooping in large piles, and scratching cars as they travel in packs of 20 to 40 or more.
Well, that's a menace.
This is North Coconut Grove. We've all been here. We've all spent time here.
Once you lose Coconut Grove, you lose the war.
This is a lovely area. Well, commissioners unanimously agreed to amend the city's charter to allow for trapping and removal of excess peacocks. They didn't specify how many peacocks would be relocated.
Hey, you got that excess peacock.
Or what constitutes excess here, but they have caused tremendous property damage. Peacocks see their reflection on the side of a car, mistake it for a rival, and attack it with their beaks.
Same.
So they're gonna trap them. They're going to relocate them to refuges. Some people actually don't want them to be removed. Others feel the peacocks are dangerous. There are a total of 80 peacocks in an area of 190 homes in the Bay Heights area of Coconut Grove. They traipse through gardens, they eat plants, they squawk aggressively during mating season. No fun. Yeah. Nope. Probably what there used to be a bunch of peacocks walking around wild at Brookfield Zoo.
Really?
They got out of an enclosure, they would get into every other enclosure. They just come and bother you and try to take your food and
take your wallet.
Take your wallet, sure. Take your children. But I don't know if they're still wandering around, but I know they were. They had been at the time. I didn't know that they were that annoying. Can you eat them?
Peacocks? I'm not entirely sure. I mean, you can, obviously. Sure. Whether they're good or not is another thing.
I'd be willing to try.
Huh. That is the Midday Midway. We do it every day here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. I think for every day we get up to opening day of Major League Baseball, we're going to have yet another player do what you're about to hear. There's a couple of minutes of a pretty notable baseball player, a vested veteran, just sounding off on the Houston Astros and everything they've done. On baseball, too.
And the commissioner.
But this you gotta hear, because baseball is on fire and the players are taking notice. This is a very big story.
You got to stick around, too, because we have another entry into the 2020 Charity Poker Championship we're giving away at some point in the next hour, and a pair of tickets to see The Masked Singer live at Rosemont Theater on June 5th. That's all in the next hour. You don't want to miss a minute. Sound you got to hear coming up on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.